Today's October 3rd. In 3 days, it will be October 6th. October 6th is a very important date in American Jewish history because 50 years ago, on October 6th, in 1965, it was Yom Kippur. Now, 50 years ago, American Jews were not where they are today. God knows they were much better off than they had been 75 years ago or 100 years ago. But still, among American Jews, there was an abiding sense of insecurity, a feeling that while they belonged, maybe they didn't belong. There were still country clubs, including one up the road, that would never admit them and paid no social price for not admitting them. It was understood that there were places where Jews weren't entirely welcome. And so they felt insecure. And signs that Jews belonged were very precious. And 50 years ago, again, unlike today, America had a single national pastime. Yes, there were football teams, and certainly there were basketball teams. But every American knew that the American pastime was baseball. In fact, 100 years ago or more, Solomon Schefter, the first great chancellor of the Jewish Theological Seminary, said in order to understand America, rabbinical students had to understand baseball. Because he thought that was the national pastime. Now, the reason Jews had to understand baseball was because although we are very good at many things, great Jewish athletes are not the biggest coterie of notables in our history. When I was a kid, I had the Encyclopedia of Jews in Sports. It wasn't that small a book, but it was a one-volume encyclopedia. Whereas if it had been other groups, it would have been a many-volume encyclopedia. And if it had been, for example, Jews in Music or Jews in Science, we would have had a lot of volumes. Jews in Sports, not so many. And let me tell you, just between us, some of the Jews who were in the encyclopedia didn't really deserve to be in the encyclopedia, but we needed to pad up the pages a little bit. But 50 years ago in the national pastime, it was by general consensus and also by statistics agreed that the greatest pitcher in the greatest game in the greatest country was a Jew. And Sammy Koufax was, for American Jews, a tremendous symbol of accomplishment, not only in a field where Jews weren't usually accomplished, but accomplished in a field where every kid in America wanted to be accomplished. You can't find today a field in which every kid in America wants to grow up to be a something. But 50 years ago, virtually every boy who grew up in America, if you'd asked him, what do you want to be? He would have said a baseball player. There were second choices, but you started off with baseball. And Sandy Koufax was the best. And it gave American Jews tremendous pride to know that the best pitcher in baseball was a Jew. So 50 years ago on October 6th, was the World Series and Yom Kippur. And Koufax was supposed to pitch. And all of America, but especially all American Jews, were waiting to see if this symbol of American Jewry would choose his tradition or baseball. And when Koufax decided not to pitch on Yom Kippur, it was maybe the proudest single day that American Jews ever had. Strange as it may sound now. If you want to know how different it was 50 years ago, it was prouder than the day that Joseph Lieberman was named as the candidate to be Vice President of the United States, which you would think would be the proudest day that American Jews have had. But Vice President is nothing compared to pitching the opening game of the World Series. And Koufax decided not to. The famous story, of course, that goes with this is that he was replaced by Don Drysdale, also a very formidable pitcher, who had a very bad couple of first innings, gave up a couple of runs, and when the manager, Walter Alston, came out to the mound, Drysdale said, "Boy, coach, I bet you wish I was Jewish too." Now, the story ends really well because Koufax came back, pitched brilliantly, and they won the series. So it was like the icing on the cake. But the fact that he sat out, that meant everything to Jews. Because it meant, first of all, that you could be at the top of your profession in America and still be a publicly declared and even somewhat observant Jew. Not that Koufax necessarily went to synagogue that day. There's a lot of dispute about that. Elliot Cosgrove, a proud Sinai product who was the rabbi of Park Avenue, gave his Yom Kippur sermon about the Koufax story. And in it, he quotes a writer who said that Koufax was like Elijah. That is, rabbis all over the country thought they saw him in their synagogue on that Yom Kippur. There were a lot of Koufax sightings. But whether, in fact, he showed up at any synagogue or no synagogue, the blow that he struck on behalf of Jewish pride was lasting and powerful. It is, in its way, as powerful for us as it was for the African-American community to see an African-American as president. It's a way of saying somebody from our world can achieve whatever the pinnacle is, and that reflects back pride. The same thing happened to the Catholic community when Jack Kennedy was elected president. That is, when you're a community that thinks they will never accept us, whoever they are, and then someone from your community is accepted and embraced and still identifies as part of your community, it's a remarkable experience. I'm telling you all this not only because it's important. After all, this really is a piece of American Jewish history. I'm saying it because if the best pitcher today were a Jew and he decided to sit out on Yom Kippur, we would think that's really nice. But nobody would say, "Oh my God, that's a revolution in American Jewish history." If you want to know how much social progress Jews have made in America in the last 50 years, just imagine the Koufax story happening today. We had something equivalent a few years ago with Sean Green, if you remember. And people were upset. He decided he was going to play on Yom Kippur. Or was it Rosh Hashanah? I don't remember. It was one of those holidays. One of those Jewish holidays. But it didn't have anything like the public traction of Koufax because we're in a different age. Because right now, when I grew up, it was thought impossible that a Jew would ever be elected president. Couldn't happen. Everybody knew it couldn't happen. I'm still not sure that there's any candidate who's Jewish who could be elected. But one of the fascinating things is even candidates that clearly have things and views that make them unelectable, like, say, Bernie Sanders, something you never hear is Bernie Sanders can't be elected because he's Jewish. Because he's a socialist? Okay. But because he's Jewish, I haven't heard that. And in fact, the crowds he draws at liberal colleges all over America, these places are not known for their particular sympathy for Israel and the Jewish people. But so integrated into the fabric of America are Jews that Lieberman was a source of pride, but not of shock. And Bernie Sanders, nobody even talks about the fact that when he was young, he worked on a kibbutz. I mean, for anybody who's watched the American Jewish experience, this is mind-boggling. It's astonishing. When in human history, in any country, except for Israel, could you have a major candidate getting a lot of press and a lot of traction and rising in the polls and not have every single commentator say, by the way, the guy's a Jew? Believe me, any country in Europe today, it's exactly what would happen as it happened with the Milibands in England. Even though their identification was tenuous at best. And so, one of the things we have to realize, and this is the great blessing of the Koufax legacy, although obviously many, many more things went into it than just that incident, one of the great blessings is that it's no longer exceptional to be a Jew in America. It's just not. It's so unexceptional that if you ask anybody who's not really that familiar with Jews and Judaism how many Jews there are in America, they wildly overestimate. Oh, there must be 20, 30 million. But of course, there is a second side to this too, which is that the identification of Jews in America has become more and more and more seamless. The identification of Jews with Judaism has become more problematic. So there are a lot of Jews out there who feel no tension with being American, but they feel some discomfort with being Jewish. And remarkably, the fulcrum has shifted. It's one of the reasons that I say it was a time when Jews were immigrant to America. Now, Americans are immigrants to Judaism. When someone walks into the synagogue and they don't know how to pray, they feel like an immigrant. They're not sure when to stand, when to sit. They feel uncomfortable with the customs. They're immigrants to their own tradition. But most American Jews feel very comfortable with America. If there's a good American football, basketball, or baseball player, they take some pride in it, but they're not shouting it in the streets. So what we have to learn to do is to be natives. My grandfather's generation, many of whom were immigrants to America, whether they were religious or not, Like with my grandfather, who actually grew up in America, but when they needed a minion, they would call him. He was not a particularly religious man, but like every Jew, he knew how to daven. The Kofax story is the story of immigrants becoming American. Now our story has to be teaching Americans how to be Jewish. How to stop being immigrants not only to this country, but to our tradition. How to make us feel as at home in the synagogue as our kids feel on the soccer field. Since many of them spend more time at soccer than they do in synagogue. That's our task. Our task will be when somebody who's known for their Judaism becomes as much of a symbol to the Jewish people of America as someone who was known for his success in Americanism. When we have a Jewish Kofax who's great because he's Jewish and the Jewish world celebrates him, then we'll know that the balance has been struck. It was very important for American Jews that our public symbol stood up for the integrity of his tradition. To this day, and he is now 80 years old, I don't know if there is anybody in Sandy Koufax's lifetime that did more for American Jews than he did with that single gesture. The way that we can repay the welcome, though, is by creating our own welcome in our own tradition, so that the next great American Jewish baseball player who sits out will sit out because he's going to come to synagogue, he's going to pray, he's going to be part of the other culture that is native to him, as it was to our ancestors. America has blessed us with many, many choices. Judaism has to be first among those choices, or all of the acceptance will lead to disappearance. But if it is first among those choices, then the acceptance will allow us to continue to be the most blessed, most creative, most accomplished, and luckiest Jewish community in the history of the world. And that, if you will allow me one cheesy metaphor, would be a home run. Shabbat shalom.